Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Shelley Epperly here. Today is Monday, January the 14th, 2019. It's 8 p.m. in New York, 5 p.m. in Los Angeles. It's after midnight, 1 a.m. in London, and Sydney, Australia is looking at around 12 noon. Once again, wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for this episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we are taking on a topic that kind of sprouted up at the last minute last week, but it's a good one. The importance of having fun and enjoying the journey. And it's actually been a theme, Shelley, for a number of the different shows, inadvertently, not directly, but, you know, kind of like part of what we've been doing in general with our conversations, because it all comes down to how you feel when you're trying to attract what you want to attract into your life, right?
Right.
So that's right. Like the key thing. That's the most important thing to do, the most important thing to have. And so, yeah, let's explore that some more. This is also a Q&A, by the way. So if you are tuning in just now or tuning on in a few minutes and have questions you'd like us to answer, please feel free to type them into the comments section if you're listening to the live stream. If you're listening to the recording, obviously you can't do that. But we always invite you to send questions in, and we take them up and talk about them on the podcast. So a lot of ways you can do that. One way, just send me an email at walt@loatoday.net. I'll get it, and I will share it with everybody else. You can also do it through the contact form on our website at loatoday.net. You can also contact each of us through Facebook. We all have Facebook accounts, you know. So whatever way you want to get the question to us, by all means, please do, because we love being able to help people out and help people figure out how to make this stuff work. Because it's one of those things, Shelley, where, you know, you can know the theory, you can understand in principle how it works, and then it comes time to start applying it in your own life, and like, what happens? It's like the head goes empty or something. Like we forget everything that we know for some reason. I don't know why that happens. I guess it has to do with not being in alignment, but yeah, it's one of those things. So
You just kind of get pulled back.
Yeah.
That's how I always feel when that happens, when you're like really doing good and then you just kind of slip back and it's like, I'm doing what I was doing before and it wasn't working.
Exactly. So, and I just realized I didn't get the recording start on the video, so I'm going to start that.
Oh, get that going.
Recording has started.
That way I don't have to do a complete download of the Facebook video, and which is it's a very complex process. This is a whole lot easier, so.
Yeah, I know. Done that a few
times. Excuse me. Well, Dee says, I think something's wrong. When I tap on play, it doesn't seem to show the video. Well, that's interesting. I'm going to reply to her by text, because I'm not quite sure if she can even hear what we're saying, but I'm going to suggest that she refresh her page.
Oh.
I just suggested she refresh her page, but hopefully she'll be able to connect pretty quickly here, because we want her to be able to hear what we're talking about. I'd say while we're getting waiting to get questions going, why don't we try answering a few questions for each other to kind of stimulate conversation a bit? And I'm going to start.
Okay.
I'm going to start off by telling you about something that I did today. I went to the library and I got a book out called "Into the Magic Shop" by Dr. James Doty, A Neurosurgeon's Quest. Can you see that? Yeah, A Neurosurgeon's Quest to Discover the Mysteries of the Brain and the Secrets of the Heart. And this was actually
I actually have that written down because one of your other podcasters suggested that book.
Exactly. It came as a suggestion, and it looks intriguing. I have to say, it looks very intriguing. I'm going to be curious to see what the details are. It's understandable why this guy became a neurosurgeon, because he grew up with an alcoholic father and a mother who suffered a stroke and was chronically depressed and attempted suicide on several occasions. Not hard to understand why he went into the field, but apparently his work was kind of, say, divergent from the rest of the field, and he ended up exploring some stuff that other people don't explore. So I'm kind of looking forward to that one. Not that I have a question about it. I just wanted to say this is one of my new book topics. And then Louis will be pleased to know. Louis D'Souza, I have the book here. He's been recommending to me for quite some time that I read a book by Elizabeth H., called Initiation. She is a woman who lived mostly in the 20th century, and he's really, really high on the teachings and the stuff that she shared through her literature and through her talks and so forth. So I've been reading that book. I can't find the book here. I think I must have it in the other room. But I'm 8 chapters in out of some 40 chapters, something like that. So I'm about 1/5 of the way through. And so far, it's basically her life story told. This is kind of weird. It's a reluctant telling of her life story because they start with an introduction where she says that she was asked by one of her followers, one of her students, if you will, how did you learn to apply the things and do the things that you do? And her response was essentially, well, telling you my story isn't going to help you. You have to learn that one through your own experience. I can't really do that for you. And so she told the story anyway. So you read the story and you say, okay, so why is she telling this story when she doesn't believe in it in the first place? I don't quite get that part. But I'm going to reserve my evaluation of it until after I'm done. I will say that 8 chapters in, it's barely holding my attention, but it's just starting to get good, so maybe it's going to turn around. I mean, Louis kind of said it was similar to, not similar to, but ranks as highly in his view as Richard Bach's Illusions, which is a novel that I loved. So I'm kind of hopeful that it picks up pretty soon and reaches that level of scholarship and entertainment value, because that was an entertaining book as well. Did you read Illusions? Did you read Illusions?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you got to read that one. That's a great book. I don't know if you've read any of Richard Bach is best known for Jonathan Livingston Seagull. That was his first big novel. But Illusions was the second one, and he was also known for another one called One and a few others as well. Illusions is really interesting. It's subtitled The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah, and it's the story of how Richard, the alter ego of Richard, so to speak, meets this guy named Donald Shimoda while flying biplanes for passengers in the Midwest in the early 1970s. And in the course of getting to know this guy, he finds out this guy has all these abilities to do things that we would call law of attraction on steroids. I mean, just he's Messiah. Like he can walk on water. He can do all these things. He can make clouds disappear. Mm-hmm. He can do all this kind of stuff. And he's teaching Richard how to do it. And it's a fascinating story, the way it's told. And very LOA-ish in a lot of the ideas that are behind it. So I think that's why I was reading this other book that Louis recommended, because if it's anything close to Illusions, I would think. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But,
well, that whole thought process, or that whole, the reality of it is, you know, this desk is made out of the same thing I am. It's just a matter of where it's vibrating and where its energy is or whatever. So, you know, they're on, like you said, law of attraction on steroids, there's the ability to do, you know, there's like spoon benders and stuff that can, you know, move things with their mind and stuff. Yep. So it's pretty fascinating.
It's crazy. And it does kind of make you wonder, you know, with all the stuff that they teach that is true about, like you said, that the table is just like my shirt. It's just reorganized differently. First of all, that's a concept that's hard to get your head around. Even when you dealt with it for a while, even when we include it in our conversations, even now I sit back and I say, no, it's not. A table is a table. A shirt is a shirt. But if we had a way that we could look at them on the molecular level, which... In terms of being able to see it with the naked eye, we really don't have a way to do that. We have electron microscopes, but it's not quite the same thing. Even with that, it's just it's hard to imagine that there's all that space in there, and that what we perceive as being hard and physical is only a perception. It's mind-boggling. I mean, I still wonder, how do all of those little tiny electrons and protons and neutrons that have all this space in them manage to turn into a physical feeling space? I don't quite get that, but they do.
Yep.
Very, very crazy stuff. I'm not seeing anything replying from D yet. D, let me know if you're hearing this. I will add another comment to see if you have successfully refreshed the page, because we want you to be able to tune in. So I'm just going to type a little comment here. So let's see. So I'm not seeing any other questions. I am seeing a couple people tuning in, but so far pretty quiet. So let's see. What are we exploring lately? I'm going to bring up a question that's part of my life right now.
Okay.
Louise, of course, has been dealing with health issues, and she's on the mend. She has kind of reached a plateau recently, and I've been noticing that she's been kind of in not the most positive frame of mind for a number of reasons, which I've been trying to bring up with her, and I've also been trying to hold her in that frame of mind, right, where you hold her in a space where everything is working out the way she wants it to be, and you're hoping for the best, and you're imagining the best, and you know, feeling the scene and all that kind of thing. But nevertheless, while I'm waiting for that to take, so to speak, waiting for her to be receptive for it, I'm finding that her mood, her outlook right now is adversely affecting me. In other words, I'm allowing her downward feeling stuff to affect me. And we talk about that all the time, how important it is to be responsible for our own vibration and to keep ourselves in alignment regardless of who's around us. But it's harder when it's somebody that you love, who you're close to like that. I mean, I don't know if any relationship that's closer than a husband and wife. And that's where we're at right now. So, I mean, what's your take on that? When you're dealing with somebody who is your spouse and your spouse is going through a rough patch and it's affecting you, what do you do?
Well, I've noticed, like what you're saying, I've noticed the same thing with me and my husband, and he's on board with the law of attraction, not to the level of sharing it like I am, but he definitely, you know, that is part of his thought process and stuff. And I have just whenever I get frustrated with him, you know, I might have that knee jerk reaction and, you know, voice it or, you know, whatever, and just say, why are you being like that or whatever, you know, just kind of calling him out on it or whatever. But then when I step back, I always try to go, okay, what am I frustrated with myself?
Yes.
That I'm trying to put on him because I'm irritated with something I'm not doing better, you know, that I should be doing better. And so your situation with your wife, and she's just kind of in a crappy spot because of all this stuff that's going on with her and stuff. And, my advice to you would be to just step back. Number one, let, you know, just know that maybe she needs to just be in this contrasting, you know, I always call it rolling around in the mud. Like eventually you're going to get done with it and you're going to, you know, brush it off and move forward. But, you know, it's okay to just be in a kind of negative place for, you know, just kind of surrender to that. I don't know. I think like just the little bits that you talked to me about her, I think she's a really, fast manifester.
Oh, she can be. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just think that she just needs to be in her space, and it is frustrating. I totally get it, because there's times when I'm just like, you know, he's just like, I hate my job, I'm just so sick of it, but I don't know what I want, and I don't know what, and I'm just like, figure it out, you know, like, come on, let's go, let's get this show on the road, you know. And then I'm just like, okay, I'm not figuring out what I want to do, you know. I'm getting frustrated with my own stuff, and you know, he's, you know, so I just always try to like reflect, like, okay, why am I so irritated with myself that I'm trying to throw it on him?
That's a good point. And in fact, I was also manifesting a symptom today, because in the midst of recognizing what was going on with myself, I made the decision I wanted to go to the gym. And when I got up to go to the gym, all of a sudden I had this major pain in my lower back. And I tried to stretch out. I tried to, you know, lay down and let it relax. I tried a number of things to you know, release the pain. And it only got worse. It didn't get better. So I finally ended up deciding not to go to the gym. I certainly didn't want to hurt myself, you know. So I figured, well, that really wouldn't be worthwhile to try to just work through the pain. Because especially with a back injury, you can hurt yourself if you really push it. So, okay, I decided to stay at home. And what I did instead is I pulled out a recording of the meditation that Linda Armstrong led us on Friday, and played that and went through that meditation. And a funny side note is when we did the meditation live in the live stream, while I was physically going through it with her on the air, I found myself, you'll remember, I kind of lost consciousness for most of it, and then I came back later on. I figured, well, this time, now I'm listening the second time, I can just relax into it, and I'll be able to listen to it. And you know what? I lost consciousness again. and then I realized I lost consciousness, and I stopped, and I rewound it back to the point where I had kind of, you know, blinked out, said, okay, I'm going to listen again. And so I turned it on, listened again, and I lost consciousness again. So there's something going on there that my subconscious mind is saying, no, you're not ready to hear that just yet. And I don't know what that's all about, but I thought that was funny. Funny story to tell if nothing else.
Well, I know that I've tried to get my husband to listen to a couple guided meditations, and every time he falls asleep. He's just like, I can't. You know, I like lay down on the bed with him and we turn it on, and then like 5 minutes later he's snoring. I'm like, okay, never mind.
Some of us are meditators and some of us are sleepers. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Louis likes to tell me, you just need to meditate more. Okay, well, I've been meditating more and I'm falling asleep more.
Maybe I just need more rest.
I know that's not it. I've gotten a lot of sleep lately. In fact, it's been really noteworthy. The last 2 months or so, I mean, there was one period of time there, and it was in the midst of when Louise was in the most difficult part of what she was going through. I was sleeping 9-10 hours a night, and I never sleep that long. I mean, typically I'm like 6 to 7, maybe 8 hours. So it was just really out of the norm. But I guess I needed it for whatever reason. I can tell you it's not a lack of sleep. I've had plenty of sleep. Cindy Chavez is the one who's had the lack of sleep lately. She's had a lot of trouble with sleep. But that's not it. So I'm not sure what it is. But that combined with the fact that I keep blanking out when I kept playing that part of the meditation tells me there's something going on there that my subconscious mind isn't letting me see just
yet. Yeah, it's like you're not ready for this. You need to just fall asleep right
whatever
here.
It is. Yeah. Get back to me later.
That's funny.
So
do you do that with other guided meditation? Is that
every time?
Because what she did, it was almost more of like, well, I guess it was a meditation, but it almost felt more like a little bit being hypnotized. Because I've done like guided hypnosis videos, and that's what it felt like more to me.
Yes, that was what that was, and certainly that doesn't help where I'm concerned, where I tend to fall asleep. We have a meditations page on our Well Away Today website, and I was looking at it. It's got like 5 or 6 meditations on it, and from different people leading the meditations. And in every case, whenever I've actually done the meditation, I've fallen asleep. So there's something about me and sleeping where meditation is concerned. But it did do one good thing. It got me into a better mood. Because that was the original impetus behind trying to deal with how I was feeling about what Louise was feeling. And
just like for the subject today, like that is what it's about. Mm-hmm. Like people, like, you know, you think, okay, you know, this is my financial goal or this is my relationship goal or whatever. But then you feel like you can't be happy until that happens.
Yeah.
And that's the important part is knowing that, the whole idea is to be happy right now, is to choose the happiest place you can be right now.
Right.
It's not, in 2 weeks, I hope that I make that money. It's be happy with the money that you have right now and be grateful for it and celebrate it and love it. And, you know, and then whether you get it in 2 weeks or not, you're just happy with your money. You just get happier and happier with your money, you know, and then it's just a daily thing. You just have chose to be happy and grateful for what you have. And so, I think that's where people get lost and they're like, well, I don't have it yet. Well, it is about the goal, but it's also about, you know, choosing to be happy right now. That's what the whole thing is about. You want a happy life. Your life is happening right now. It's not happening yesterday. It's not happening tomorrow. It's happening right this minute. And if you are irritated and frustrated because you don't have, you know, your $5,000 right this minute, the universe is just going to go, okay, I guess we need to be super frustrated that we're not going to have that $5,000. So I'll just keep reiterating that back to you and showing you proof of and how you don't have any money and how life sucks and, you know, and it just, it switches when you decide to be happy, and it happens so much faster, you know?
Yeah.
Because you almost let go of the goal.
What do you mean?
I just, like, when I started wanting to be better with finances, and me and my husband just kind of revamped everything, how we communicated about money, how we, you know, he always did the bills, so I never really saw him, but then I'd get a phone call that, you know, like our water bill was due and we need to pay it by tomorrow, or our water was going to, you know, and then the landlord's calling us going, I got a notification from the water company, you know, and I'm just like, I'm getting the brunt of all this, you know, because I'm home all day. You need to communicate with me and let me know this is happening, you know?
Exactly.
And so what he did was he just like hung all that stuff up on the fridge, and he would sit me down once a week and say, this is what we're doing and this is what we, you know, are paying. And so I had the information, and I never handed him over the finances because, you know, he's the man and I can't do it, but I hate math and I was always screwing things up. And always, like, when I did my own finances before we got married, I would overdraw, and it was just like, it was just math mistakes because I was just, you know, I wasn't paying that much attention. And so anyways, so we just decided to revamp our whole finances, and I started doing the I love money and, you know, money comes when I call and I say yes to money, and I started just revamping how I thought about it on a daily basis. And then, you know, within a month and a half, our finances, you know, every time he did bills and got his paycheck, he'd be like, wow, like we have way more money left over than I thought we were going to, you know? And I was like, okay, well, this whole money thing's working. And then, I got an inheritance that was over $100,000. And it's like, So when that happened, I was already super happy with my finances. So it wasn't like I was in that desperate spot of like, you know, oh my God, you know, that's going to be life changing. It wasn't even really that life changing because I was already in that space of loving money and appreciating it. And when I got it, we, you know, made really conscious, happy decisions. It wasn't going into it with desperation. What are we going to do with that? And how are we going to spend that? And fighting about it. And you know what I mean? Like people think that they want a lot of money, but if you're already fighting about money, what money does, I've discovered, is money, accentuates who you already are.
Boy, is that the truth. Oh yeah.
When you were living paycheck to paycheck 6 months ago, and you have revamped the way that you're spending money and thinking about money, and you have a couple, you know, my daughter bought a car in April, and she needed an extra $1,000 for a down payment. And it was something that that was before I got the inheritance, and that was something that we could give her without even, it wasn't going to make or break us.
That's nice, yeah. That's
good. We were just in a really good spot, you know? And so then when we got that money, it was just like, we were already, that's what I'm talking about. Like, it doesn't even become about the goal anymore. And when the goal hits, you're like, oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And you just keep being happy about it. So that's what I mean about it not being about the goal, is you just, you know, like if you want to lose weight and you start being really happy about your body and treating it differently and treating it better and feeding it better and taking better care of it. And then, you know, a couple months later, you're down 20 pounds and you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
but you're not like, oh, I can be happy now because, you know, I'm 20 pounds down. You know, you're just like, you know, yeah, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And, you know.
Absolutely. Because when you do it that way, not only do you maintain the continuity, but you mentioned weight loss. With weight loss, going that route, you're much less likely to put the weight back on afterward. That's one of the biggest problems that people who are trying to lose weight have. They take off all this weight, and then because they didn't actually change their mental process, they put it all back on and then some. And it's even worse than it was before.
Yeah. Well, it's for finances too, because you can, You can attract winning the lottery or getting an inheritance or getting a higher paying job, but if you still have the same mentality of like, you know, just spending every dime you have, it doesn't matter if you get, you know, $500 this week or $50,000 this week, you're going to spend it, you know? You'll find a way.
So. I'm not even sure it has to do with spending it, although I understand your point. Because I've also lived the other side of that, which is being frugal to the point of fear, which is equally as bad as just, you know, being a spendthrift.
Right, right.
What it really comes down to is what you said before. It comes down to how do you feel about it? How do you feel about the situation? What are you focusing on where the situation is concerned? Because the more that we're focusing on, oh, there's not enough money. Oh, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Oh, I don't like what's going to happen in 2 months. Now we're setting ourselves up to lose, regardless of whether we're being frugal or not. It's just the mindset that's getting us at that point. So I agree about that part. That, you know, changing the mindset is crucial. That's actually a part of what I was doing today, too, because I was recognizing the warning signs. I was recognizing, you know, the little thoughts coming through and saying, no, that's not where I want to go. No, I don't want to go there either. No, I definitely don't want to go there. You know, it was one of those things. And not being able to find the happier thoughts. That's why I tried the meditation. I knew I needed to break up the pattern because the pattern was a negative vortex pattern. And when you're in that negative vortex pattern, you can't see your way out. You can't find your way out that easily. You're scratching and clawing trying to find the exit. And it's not always there. So that's where you have to try to kind of, you know, climb the scale, the emotional guidance scale that Abraham talks about. Speaking of which, too, I was looking at that scale today in the Ask and It Is Given book by Abraham Hicks. And I was noticing some really interesting things about the top end of the scale. I've noted before on prior podcasts, there are 22 items on the scale. Of those 22, 7 of them fall in the positive range. 1 or 2 of them are kind of neutral, and all the rest are negative, which always struck me as interesting that there's so many more negative than there are positive.
Yeah.
But today, I was noticing some things about the positive range, because I was taking another look and asking myself, where am I on the scale and all that kind of thing. And by the time I'd done with the meditation attempt that I fell asleep in, when I came out of that, so to speak, I found myself at number 6, hopefulness. So I'd made some improvement. But then I was looking up the scale even more. Number 5 is optimism, so it's a little bit more than hopefulness. Just beyond that is positive expectation or belief, which is what you were talking about. Then comes at number 3, enthusiasm/eagerness/happiness. And that was one of the things I wanted to mention. Happiness is number 3 on the list. It's not number 1. Really interesting thing. Number 2 is passion. And number 1 is actually 6 items: joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, and appreciation. And as I looked at that list and looked at the other items below it, I realized there was a word missing that people regularly talk about when talking about trying to improve how you're feeling when you're doing law of attraction, deliberate creation. And that word is gratitude. Gratitude is not on their list at all. Now, I've heard Abraham say that they consider appreciation to be a more pure term than gratitude is, because gratitude can sometimes have, you know, a certain baggage attached to it, you know, like obligations that go along with it and so forth, whereas appreciation is much more pure. And interesting that appreciation is a top line item. That's one of the 6 at the top. So appreciation is... And I've kind of talked about this in the past, how I never realized appreciation was a top-line item. I never really thought about it that way. And it made me wonder how appreciative I really was sometimes, because I would say, I appreciate something, but I wasn't really feeling joyous and that kind of thing. So I thought, geez, maybe I need to up my game a little bit. But to have appreciation on that top line and gratitude nowhere at all, that kind of stopped me for a second and made me wonder, why would they do that? Why? Because they read it as positive, but what do you think?
I feel like gratitude and appreciation are the same thing. But I feel like what you said, I feel like appreciation is more authentic. Like when you appreciate something, there's more feeling to that. When you're just having gratitude, like, you know, everybody says be in the attitude of gratitude and have a gratitude journal. I kind of feel like that kind of, like what you said, it kind of becomes mundane. Like, okay, I'm going to write down everything I'm grateful for today so I can do my work. But appreciation to me is like, it is the same thing. I mean, technically it's the same thing, but appreciation is, I think, just putting more feeling into it. I mean, when you seriously appreciate something, it brings an emotion. It brings a physical, for me, it brings a physical reaction. Like I tear up or I get a smile on my face, you know, when I just think about how much I appreciate my husband or, you know, even like this house. Like I so appreciate this house. I have my own office. I didn't have an office in the last house. I was just doing everything in the living room, you know, and so it's like I totally appreciate that. And when I get in that space, I just think that I think that that space and that emotion is like a fast track to being happier and being closer to your goals or your desires.
So when you think of the word appreciation, do you think of it as being a top level emotional thing?
Definitely.
On the scale? So you put it higher than passion, higher than enthusiasm, higher than happiness, higher than eagerness?
Yeah.
You really do? Wow. Okay.
I do, but I also feel like it is also, it can also be below all that because it can be a stepping stone too. Because when people are like, you know, I'm just having a really crappy day or I have no idea how to even get positive, I always go straight to gratitude and appreciation. Like, get grateful for what you have right now. If you don't have any money in the bank, be grateful for the things you got to pay. Be grateful for the food in your cupboards. Be grateful for your lights are still on. Be grateful for your kids' love or whatever, you know, it is, whatever they're struggling with. You know, if you're unhappy because you're obese or you're overweight or you're, you know, struggling with an illness, be grateful and appreciate what your body is doing right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still digesting food. You can still see. You can still feel. You can still brush your hair. You can still, you know, heal. When you scratch your arm, you can still heal. You know, like your body is a miracle. You know?
That's right.
And yeah, you might have a hurt foot or you might have a digestive issue or you might have a headache today, but the rest of your body is doing its job and there's nothing wrong with appreciating that.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
good. Yeah.
And a good example of what you were talking about, how you like, you know, kind of brought yourself back, like your back was hurting. And you could have turned that into like all day, well, I was going to go to the gym and now I can't. And, you know, my back hurts and I probably am not going to be able to go anywhere or do any, you know, you could
easily.
Just like,
yeah,
get in your, you know, your,
the pity
your,
party,
bag, like the muck and you can just wade around in it, you know? And
right.
Then, so today on the way home, I had to use the restroom. And so like the closest place was a Dairy Queen that we've stopped at before to use the restroom. But when I do that, I always feel obligated to buy something when I go into a store or go into a restaurant or something. And so, you know, we stopped and my husband was like, well, are you going to get anything? And I said, yeah. And, you know, I didn't really need anything. But I was just like, yeah, I'm going to get something. And he goes, well, if you're going to buy something, get me a cheeseburger. I'm like, okay. And so I go in and I the whole time in the back of my head, I'm going, I do not need fries and a shake, but I'm going to get fries and a shake. Like, so I go in and I like get the, yeah, I use the restroom first and I come out and order my food and they bring it up pretty quick because there was nobody there. They give me my shake in this just messed up cup. It's already dripping everywhere. You know, we still have like 2.5 hours on our trip and I'm like all sticky. I get up to the car, I put it in the drink thing and I'm like kind of like, and we're still parked in the parking lot and I'm kind of rearranging myself to get the fries on my lap and get my seatbelt on and everything. And I go to reach for my shake and it literally just dumps all over the console.
Oh no.
Starts going down. Like under my husband's, the driver's seat, and I'm like, and at that point, I'm just like pissed for not doing that. I go, I'll be right back. And I like, so I bring it back in, and I said, you guys need to put this in a different cup. Like, this is impossible. I can't, you know, and then she gives me some like disposable, like wet wipe things, you know, and I go and clean it all up and stuff. So then we finally get off on back onto the road, you know, I'm just thinking, this is just the universe telling me I do not need this damn shake. But I'm still, it's in a different cup now, so I'm drinking it, you know, I'm having it. And so we, you know, I get done with it and we're driving down the road and immediately my belly starts hurting and I'm just like, and so I'm just like, okay, you know, this is what I get. And I was just like, and then I just like stopped myself and I said, you know what? Like before we left 2 hours ago, I had like those, you know, those naked drinks. They're like,
They're the like, naked brand.
Yeah. They're like fruit and they have like spirulina and wheatgrass and everything in them. And I got one of those and I got it because I knew I was going to be eating junk food and I knew that would be a better start to my day than, you know, whatever. And so I was just like, no, everything is in my belly. And it's hanging out with all that healthy stuff that I just put in it a few hours ago. And I'm going to be fine. And it immediately went away.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's awesome. I wasn't voicing it or anything. I was just in my head just going, oh, there's my belly ache. You know, okay, the rest of the trip is going to be, you know, this struggle of this belly ache. And then I was just like, no, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. It can, my belly is fine. I had some really healthy stuff earlier and it's going to be great. And it was. It was awesome.
It's a wonderful demonstration of how quickly we can turn things around by making the shift in the way we're thinking.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what you did. That was wonderful how quickly you shifted that around. And it's also wonderful how quick the result you got out of it too. Which I think is mostly due to the fact that you're largely in alignment most of the time. So it was a relatively easy shift for you to make, but nevertheless,
and it just keeps getting easier. That's what's so cool about this, you know, and like you said, you slip back, you know, I'll have a couple days where I'm just like not doing things right and, you know, getting involved in the gossip and the drama of stuff and, you know, and then I'm like, whoa, bring it back, you know, like that's not, we don't want to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And by the way, to people who are listening to the live stream, as you're listening, if you have questions of your own you want to introduce, you know, type them into the comments section and we'll be glad to bring them up. Without questions in the comments section, we're just continuing our conversation about the topic, which Shelley was just nailing perfectly. The topic is the importance of having fun and enjoying the journey. You just told a great story about how you were in the middle of this journey, you were not enjoying the journey, you turned it into not enjoying the journey even more by just, you know, I'm just going to get some junk food, blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. You were not in that good aligned space. You got consequences that came out of it, and then you said, wait a minute, it's time to enjoy the journey. It's time to feel good about what happened. And I actually did something good earlier that makes me feel good. And you got yourself into a happier place just by thinking that, and stomach ache went away. I mean, that's a great story about enjoying the journey right there, showing how you pivot in midstream, in the middle of whatever's going on in life, to change how life is playing out.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, that top line item. Now, there are six items, again. This is the emotional guidance scale from the Abraham Hicks book, Asking It Is Given. And the top line, the highest vibration line, is joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, and appreciation. And I want to ask you about knowledge, because that also seems to me a really interesting item to put in a top vibrational space.
I was thinking that too.
And, well, what do you think? I mean, would you put it up there first of all? And second of all, why do you think they put it up there?
I probably wouldn't have put it up there. I think that Abraham put it up there because if you don't have the knowledge, you don't, like, you know, if people don't know how to use the law of attraction to their advantage, that it even exists, that they're not just floating through life, dealing with all these consequences and situations that just happen to them, and they don't realize that they can change that and they have the power and the energy to do that.
Right.
So I think that's where they're coming from with that. Like, you have to have the knowledge about this.
Well, it also made me wonder, is it possible they have a second idea in mind? Because I think you're right. I think that is a main portion of what they're talking about. But a second portion is, there are a couple ways you can understand the word knowledge. You used it in what I would describe as the more conventional way, knowing a subject. In this case, knowing the subject of being a deliberate creator. But there's also knowing what you want within your vortex. And I'm wondering if that's what they mean by knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing yourself, like, knowing what you really want in life. I wonder if that's where part of their definition is.
Because I would have put wisdom instead of knowledge.
Mm. And wisdom doesn't appear on this list, I don't think. I'm looking. Yeah, wisdom's not on here at all.
I don't think it would have been at my top, but, you know, Abraham knows way more than I do.
Well, it helps when you have an unlimited number of non-physical beings all contributing to it, because you have this huge mind meld going on there, right? So it's like a mastermind group on a massive level. But that I have a feeling that's what part of what they're thinking about. That knowledge means knowing yourself, knowing what you love, knowing what's important to you, and knowing it well enough that you're focusing on it. Because when you're focusing on it in a big, big way, that's when you're going to feel best. And I think that's true. When we know what we really, really want, and we're focusing on that in a big, big way, we are feeling our best. Mm-hmm. Assuming that really is what we want. That raises another question. And this is, again, part of why you want to enjoy the journey, because in the midst of a journey, and we're on a constant journey, all of us in our lives, in the midst of dealing with everyday life, which is being on the journey, we are often confronted with, maybe confronted isn't the word, presented with the consequences or the response to the thoughts that we're putting out there. And sometimes we'll put out a thought about, we want X. And then we get a manifestation of X, and it wasn't quite what we had in mind, you know? It's like, that's a literal interpretation of what I was asking for. It's just not the way I was really thinking about it. I was thinking about it a little differently. And the answer that kind of comes to our minds when we say it is, well, actually, you were thinking about it that way. If you want to be more precise, change your thought process. But when we're looking at this, I'm wondering if knowledge is also about learning to adjust our wants as we're going on. So I want to attract money into my life and I find a dime on the ground and thinking, oh, I guess I should have specified a larger amount than that.
Right.
So adjusting the want and making my knowledge about what it is I really want, which is I don't want a dime, I want $10 million or whatever it is. And focusing more specifically on what it is that I want. I wonder if that's also part of knowledge. Because I'm still struck by the fact they put that on number one. That's pretty big.
So do they explain? I have that book, but I have not read it. Do they explain where they stand on the different?
They do indirectly. Let me just read this one little section. This is for those who are wondering. This is Asking It Is Given. This is the first book that was put out by Esther and Jerry Hicks, Abraham Hicks. And the way they do their books is Abraham essentially dictates the contents through Esther, and Jerry was the one who recorded them, and then they turned them into books. This is chapter 22 from the book. It's called The Different Degrees of Your Emotional Guidance Scale. And it says, you might say that different emotions have different vibrational frequencies, but a more accurate way of saying it would be your emotions are indicators of your vibrational frequency. When you remember that your emotions indicate your degree of alignment with source energy, and that the better you feel, the more you are allowing your alignment with the things you desire, then it is easier to understand how to respond to your emotions. So absolute alignment with your own source energy means that you know the following. There's the word know. You know you are free. You know you are powerful. You are good. You are love. You have value. You have purpose. All is well.
I know what it is. It's knowing is believing.
Well, it's a more powerful form of believing in the sense that most people use the word belief to mean something they can't turn into a tangible, hard belief. So it's like, well, I kind of have that belief, whereas knowing is like the advanced believing. So in that sense, I think you're right. It's like the final stage of believing.
Like the whole faith thing, like, people say, oh, yeah, I have faith that that's going to happen. But do they really have faith? Because what faith really is like unwavering knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what, I know that it's going to turn out that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you start practicing using the law of attraction to your advantage, you start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you go, oh, well, it's, you know, you start fretting about something during your day, and then you go, no, that's going to happen better than I expect, or I'm not going to have to, you know, make that trip across town today because something else is going to come up and I know it's going to work out perfectly or whatever. And when you're saying that and you're just hoping that it happens, then that hope isn't knowing. Hope isn't faith. But when you say that, when you put that out there and you know that something's going to come, you have no idea how it's going to happen, but you know it's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And they also use the word no in the next paragraph with a slightly different meaning to it. This is the third paragraph. At any time that you are thinking thoughts that cause you to know your true nature, you are in alignment with who you really are. For this is the state of absolute alignment. And the way those thoughts feel is the ultimate emotion of connection. When you think in terms of a fuel gauge on a vehicle, this state of alignment would be the same as a full tank. In other words, imagine a gauge or scale with gradations or degrees which indicate the position of the fullest allowance of your connection with your source energy all the way to your emptiest, most resistant disallowance of your alignment with your source energy. And then a scale of emotions would look like this, and they list the 22 items on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
So knowledge actually seems to be multi-valued the way they're using it.
Yeah.
It's, like you said, it is knowing as opposed to just believing. Knowing that your love, knowing that you're powerful, knowing you are free, knowing you are good, knowing you have value, knowing you have purpose, knowing that all is well. And it's also knowing your true nature of who you really are. And that is, to me, a journey knowing, because when you are knowing your true nature in the context of the journey, you are constantly updating that knowledge based on what you're experiencing as you're going through your life. So.
And it's like a confidence in yourself, because so many people feel like they don't deserve it for whatever blocks
right.
that they have
yep.
unconsciously or whatever.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, I don't deserve that, or I can't, you know, I need to take care of everybody else and, you know, I'll figure myself out later or whatever. When you don't know that, when you don't put yourself in a deserving place,
now, after they list the 22 items, then they throw in their disclaimer, if you will, in which they acknowledge that words are a little bit slippery. So they say, since the same words are often used to mean different things, and different words are often used to mean the same things, such as attitude, appreciation and gratitude, rather, these words, labels for your emotion, these word labels for your emotion are not absolutely accurate for every person who feels the emotion. In fact, giving word labels to the emotions could cause confusion and distract you from the real purpose of your emotional guidance scale. And then in italics, which for them always means this is important, pay attention. The thing that matters most is that you consciously reach for a feeling that is improved. The word for the feeling is not important.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I just made a mountain out of a molehill by saying, well, why do they have this word here?
It's all about perception.
Well, it's also about knowledge. It's about knowing and understanding this stuff and learning exactly what it means. Because while words don't have necessarily very precise meanings, they can be a little bit slippery. Ideas are very precise. And that's what we're really wrestling with here. We're learning to understand and appreciate and apply in our lives the ideas that they're trying to teach us. And I'm constantly reminded of the fact, every time I talk about Abraham, I'm reminded of the fact that the way Esther receives this information from Abraham is in what she terms blocks of thought. And then she takes those blocks of thought and translates them into English so she can say them to us so we can hear what Abraham has to say. And I constantly think about that. Blocks of thought. In other words, ideas have a very definite structure to them. And when you understand what the structure is and the idea within the context of that structure, it has a very, very specific meaning. That's what we're trying to learn. That's why we spend so much time talking about law of attraction, because we're trying to understand that exact structure that they're presenting to us. And then I remind myself of something else they say, which is, everything that you're reading about from the past, including this, because this is a few years old now, is old news. So, you know, yeah. The Bible is old news. The Quran is old news. You know, the teachings of Hinduism are old news. It's all old news. And they have their value. They certainly had their value at the time they were published. But over time, that value mm-hmm. starts to lessen. And that's really interesting to me, too, because what I think they're saying is that when you deal with a book like this, Asking It Is Given, and you're trying to understand that idea structure, and you're coming to terms with it, and you're wrestling with it, and saying, okay, I think here's this nuance, here's that nuance, here's how it all seems to add up to me. By the time you figure that out, it's time to move on, because that was 10 years in the past. mm-hmm. So we're constantly trying to keep up with what the latest knowledge is, really.
I think part of it, too, is like talking about like The Secret, the movie, mm-hmm. you know, from the first time I watched it to watching it now is a whole different experience.
What do you mean?
Just because the first time I watched it, it was just kind of like a revelation to me, like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I always kind of knew about it because my mom and my grandma kind of instilled that, you know, that love is, everybody is love and God and that, you know, we're all one and that kind of thing. Like, I kind of knew that, you know, and had that. I didn't have any religious teaching growing up, but I was, you know, like, I remember asking my mom, like, what is God? You know, and she said, when you look in someone's eyes and you see their soul, that's God. And I'm like,
oh,
okay.
Nice answer.
Like, you know,
I like the answer.
As a little kid, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that sounds good to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, when I was introduced to The Secret, like, I literally just, I guess I'm just a crier, but I just sat there and pretty much bawled because I was just, it was more like I was remembering something than I was getting this new knowledge. Mm-hmm. But then, and I haven't watched The Secret in probably a year or two, but, and then I just kept watching it. I was like, Mom, you gotta come over and watch this movie. And, you know, my husband, Scott, you gotta watch this movie. You know, the kids, you better watch this movie, you know. Like, pushing, I became like a drug pusher with this movie.
Yeah, right.
Everybody gotta watch this movie, you know, because I was so excited about it. But then, it's like, there's little snippets in there that the more I watched it, I saw things. It's like, every time I watched it, I saw new things. Mm-hmm. Like, just because maybe it was 6 months later and I'd learned some new things and then I watched it and I'm like, I don't even remember that being in there when I watched it before. So like that book, even though it's old news, you could read it now, like
oh, yeah.
word for word, read the whole book, and then in 5 years read it again and just get a whole new outlook on it.
Very true.
And I think that like when you were talking about reading that book and she's like, well, I'm not going to tell this story because everybody needs their own story. You can't use my story to do better in life or whatever. Mm. But I think that just like you and I are sitting here talking about this and there are people listening and there are people that are going to listen to us in the future
right.
with the podcast and everything, that there's certain parts of what we're talking about where they're just going to be like, these people are crazy. Like, how can, like, you know, like, how can she stop her stomach from hurting just by thinking it, you know?
Well, actually, like probably our listeners won't think that, but new listeners might. Our listeners are actually pretty well educated.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like somebody that just stumbles upon this, you know, but then they might be like, oh, his back hurt and he decided to do a meditation instead. Well, that sounds like a good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you have to be in the right space to, you know, there's stuff on the Law of Attraction that I listen to. And then I'm just like, this isn't doing anything for me right now. But I know in that moment, I might be beyond that or I might not even be there yet. Like I don't judge it. I'm not like,
right.
oh, well, this is just crap and I don't need to hear it. It's just like, I might not be ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
Or this might be beyond, like I've already been through that. So it's not, you know, it's not really helping me because I already know about it. So, I don't know. I just think that, like, just when you said that, you know, it can be old news, like that book can be old news. But the thing is, somebody picks up that book and it just totally resonates with them and it's life changing. It's all brand new news, even though it was written, what, you know, 10 years ago or however long it was written. So.
That's true. Yeah. And the stuff that was written 10 years ago, it isn't that old.
It's, right.
We're not talking thousands of years here. We're talking a decade. You know, it's an entirely different range. So
because even the even the Bible has some amazing stuff that I think is still very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it has some other stuff that I just skip over and ignore because it's not worth looking at, but some of it is very useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's the advantage to having a book that is a newer book. It's more likely to be more comprehensive for what we need right now than an older book, perhaps.
Right.
But nevertheless, it's got good stuff in it, and that's really the most important thing. We got about 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure I get messages in because I haven't been doing it lately. But first, I want to ask people who are not yet subscribers, if you're one of those people Shelley alluded to a moment ago, who this is new and you're kind of liking what you're hearing, become a subscriber. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's easy to do. You'll find the links for both Android users and for Apple devices, iPhones, iPads, and so forth, within the descriptions almost everywhere that this is published. If you can't find the links, just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net, and you'll find icons there. Just click the right icon for your device, and it'll walk you right through the process of subscribing, and then you'll have all of the episodes coming right to your device as we publish them, which is pretty cool. That means you don't have to go looking for them. You just go look for your podcast app, and oh, there they are. Now you got them to play, and you can play them anytime that you need to. The other thing is we ask that if you're enjoying the episodes, and I think you are because you're still listening, share the fact that you're liking them and like them and comment on them and share with other people and tell people about it who you think might be interested in them, because we want more and more people to get their daily dose of happy. I continue to envision a world of people who are getting a daily dose of happy every day, and we have this large population that we're reaching, and all kinds of amazing things are happening within the world as a result of changes people are making in their own lives by getting their daily dose of happy. So those are the two main messages. There's going to be a third one coming along pretty soon. Well, there is one other that I have used in the past, and I'll include it here. We love your comments. We love your questions. Send them in. You know, if you're not listening to the live stream, send us the questions by email or by the website or Facebook or whatever else, and we'll be glad to address them on the podcast on an upcoming episode. So those are the main promo messages I needed to get in. And before we are done for the day in our last couple of minutes, what's your biggest takeaway? What do you think is the most important thing based on what we've talked about, Shelley, when it comes to the importance of enjoying the journey and having fun with it, having fun with life, basically, as a deliberate creator?
I think it's just realizing that for people that are brand new to the law of attraction or people that have been trying to use it for a while and it's not working, that it's a daily thing. It's how you react to the guy that pulls out in front of you in traffic. It's how you are thinking when you're picking out what loaf of bread that you're going to buy at the store. It's like, seriously, how you deal with your kids when they get off the school bus, and are you frustrated because they didn't do their homework, or are you excited because you're going to hear about what they did today and what they did at recess and who they talked. Like, it's just like it's a daily, minute by minute, now by now choice. It's a choice. I just think it's important for you to know that you're not going to reach those goals and be happy until you decide that you're going to be happy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think you've nailed it very nicely. I'd add that we discovered a couple of things about the Abraham emotional guidance scale, including the fact that, we've previously talked about, and we talked about here, that appreciation is pretty high. It's right at the top of the scale. And we got a better understanding what knowledge is, that it isn't just what you know, it's specifically what you know about your own beliefs and what you know about what's going on in your own vortex and what's important in your life. And that knowledge plays a major role in terms of, what's the journey going to be like? Because the more that we know what we like, the more we're going to like the journey, which is nice. It makes it easier to take that journey. But this has been good.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing the show once again with me, Shelley. I look forward to doing it every week. And I don't know what topic we'll do for next Monday, but I'm sure we'll come up with something.
Yep.
So thank you for joining us. Tune in next time, and we hope that you'll join us every time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.